The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Good morning, David Doble. How are you?
Good, my friend. How about you?
Everything is good. Everything's good. Ready for another weekend of home improvement show for 2 hours and then home improvement stuff for 2 days, I hope. I don't know what the weather's doing where y'all are. We're a little funky funk this morning, but I think it's going to be okay.
Yeah, it's been nice here, and I think we've got a little rain coming, but hopefully just for a little bit.
Yep, all good, all good. Look, we're hard to believe we are 1 week out from Memorial Day. I feel like we just got off the phone with our HVAC partner saying, hey, cooling season is only a couple months away. But we're here. We'll talk about some really cool Memorial Day stuff, actually. Project-wise, product-wise, I realize as I'm saying this, David, that there's huge painting stuff going on, and I don't have anywhere in our notes this morning to talk about painting stuff, but we can get down that path. But mostly we want to talk about what's important to y'all. We're at 704-570-1110. That's 704-570-1110. If you're out and about, give us a call. We'll talk about things that are on your mind. We're actually going to get a few minutes in the second hour with one of our Home Depot associates, with Jared Welsbacher. And Jared's going to talk to us, David, honestly, unless you raise your hand and say, no, I'm really smart on that stuff. He's going to talk a little bit about some gardening things, which you and I tend to kind of let sit on the back burner because it's not a particularly strong suit for us. But we'll see what Jared's got cooking there. And then just some cool Memorial Day stuff. And it kind of is, it's good timing because I thought for us, David, we could think of things this week in terms of, you know, what, talk about gardening, but there's some different kind of prep work. I've got some of our helpful hacks on just how to lay out a garden bed, things like that. There's all kinds of cool products, but you and I like to talk about like, okay, what's the deck underneath the product, or how does the pergola work, or how you're going to do those things. So I thought we would get into a little bit of that, kind of like outdoor living spaces. And mm-hmm. then I've got, you know, my JLC, my Journal of Light Construction. You know, once a month that comes out. There's great websites you can get to too. And it's not just reserved for people, you know, who carry contractor's licenses or in the business. I don't carry a contractor's license, obviously. But it's really good information. Some of it's just more complex than we can go over on the radio, David. But there's some innovative products in there that I thought it would be cool to share with folks, particularly in deck season, because there's one that I really like that's pretty cool. And we'll get to that. Right now, Ed wants to talk. Let's see. Ed, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Good morning. Yeah, I wanted to talk about generators. I'm looking to more transfer switches.
Okay.
I'm looking to set up a transfer switch up at the house, and wanted to kind of see some advantages and disadvantages of going with a 30 amp versus a 50 amp, a little bit larger.
Yeah.
What's your all thought on that as well?
Well, David, bigger's better if you're looking for capacity, but not always compatible, right? So,
sure. Are you all electric there, Ed?
There's some gas as well. So most of, hot water heaters, gas, stove,
okay,
gas. So I'll be running more AC and kind of just power backup internet. I got some work at home capabilities as well. So
what about heat? You said heat was gas?
Heat is gas as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think you start with I think what they normally do is a load calculation on the house, so that air conditioning is going to be the largest thing, user of electricity off of that generator, and then second would be a dryer.
Let me back up for 1 second, though, David, because Ed, if you're asking this question, it sounds to me like you might be considering like a portable generator that you're going to have?
That, yeah, that's correct. So the capacity is, it's a 9,000 running.
Okay.
12 and a half startup and such as well. So looking just to kind of, it's got capabilities of both 30 and 50. And just kind of trying to see what would be the best fit for long-term use at the home.
Yeah. So David, it's not like a whole house that someone's installing and doing that load calculation. Ed's going to put a portable one in and then a transfer switch. So good job for doing it the right way. But and did you intend to try to run air conditioning off of that, Ed, or were you just trying to have an emergency solution and you're going to suck it up and sweat if the power goes out when it's hot, but you'll be able to?
I was kind of trying to look at both options.
Okay.
I mean, we do lose power in our area, unfortunately, a little bit more than most, and seems religiously every Sunday for a couple hours. But there has been times where we've been out for a full day and such due to accidents, weather, that kind of such.
Okay. I'm sorry for Dave. I'm sorry to interrupt, but so then David, back you have to answer from here. But so it sounds like you'd like to be able to do air conditioning if possible.
Yeah, if we could.
Well, I think if you set that up with a 50 amp, even though it may be more than you need for extended amounts of time, it would give you opportunity to have more of the conveniences of home going. And then later, if you switch to a whole house generator, you've already got the switch in place. So
prepares it for the future at least.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So probably for the difference in price, you know, because if you decided later to go back and replace it, you'd have a
Take
lot more money
out,
than that
yeah.
in it. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Is there anything else that I should be aware of kind of doing, you know, going from a 30 to a 50 besides just the capacity, the wattage capacity and such, or is that pretty much kind of the main?
Yeah, difference? I think, yeah, it just gives you the opportunity to have more circuits available for the generator really is all it does.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your all's insight as well. Thank you.
Well, appreciate the call, Ed. Good luck with that. All right. We've run a little bit past the break here, so we'll go ahead and take it. We'll come back with some comments on Ed's question and some other things when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking about a home improvement that's important to you. Give us a call. We have all kinds of things that we can talk about. David, if I could back up for 1 second, though, to Ed's question about a generator and the transfer switch. So first off, kudos to Ed for doing it the right way, right? It's not only is it safer, it's just so much more convenient. To be able to, you know, you wire the circuits in that you want to have powered by the generator, and then you have a separate switch that you can, you know, turn on and turn off and really manage even what's coming in with the generator. But there's some things that I think folks can forget about or maybe need to consider at that point. And I'll go like from simple to not complex, but a consideration is where are you going to place the generator? If it's going to be even a propane power generator, like off propane tanks, is going to be fairly noisy. And so there's that consideration. You probably don't want it under a bedroom window. You want it somewhere that it's safe and secure. But that also begs the question of like, how do you get the cable that runs from the generator into the house and into the transfer switch? There's a way to penetrate the wall correctly. You probably don't want to run it under a garage door or, you know, leave a door partially ajar. How have you done that, David?
Well, most of the time it's done through some type of conduit. And there's different fittings that you use for different situations, but that's the best way. You're talking about going from the transfer switch or from the generator to the transfer switch.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and so really, I think there's boxes available that you can purchase that have, you know, the 30 amp or 50 amp connection in there, and you're just male to female.
Right.
And that is the correct way to do it, right? Don't run it, you know, don't try to run the cable under a door. We've seen all kinds of different things because folks haven't done what Ed is doing, which is plan ahead. The second thing I think that's important, and I defer to you on this, is that generator needs to be grounded, does it not?
Yes.
Do you need a bond off the generator to a ground pole?
Well, it would go to a ground rod.
Yeah,
so you would do that. You would certainly want to ground it.
And I think I don't know if that would have an effect, David, on the performance of a GFI that might be on the circuit if it wasn't grounded. I don't know. I don't know enough about electricity to opine on that, and so I won't. But I think it's a step that sometimes gets ignored. Hey, we roll out the generator, we've got a place for it, we've got the transfer switch in place, everything's ready to roll, and it doesn't get grounded. And I think, as I recall, that's a fairly important step.
Yeah, well, yeah, you always want to be grounded. And most transfer switches come with the cord or the twist lock that you need. So that outlet, where the twist lock is just a male or female
right.
plug-in, that goes in and it twists, so it locks in.
Right.
And you know, if you're in an RV and not all that, you're familiar with what that means. But
yep.
Your electrician knows what it means, and that's probably the most important thing.
And in our soil, you know, putting a ground rod into the ground can be a bit of a challenge. But I think you had a kind of a cool solution for that, just using like a demo hammer, right? Like putting it a bit like on a demo hammer, just driving it into the ground.
Yeah, they have special bits for that. You know, if you live towards the coast of the Carolinas, you can just about push them in by hand.
Right.
It's a little different
bit of water,
when you get in that
put a
sand.
Hose, put a hose right. nozzle in and attach it to the hose and drive it down and pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
But
it goes in pretty easy.
Yeah. All right. A couple things that came to mind. Ed, who's doing it the right way, again, good for him. But a couple comments that I thought would make sense. And then that just opens us back up to great stuff for Memorial Day weekend. If you've got projects that you're planning, these are great weekends for this is a long weekend coming up, right? Not this, don't not show up for work on Monday, because it doesn't start till the 29th. But I think it's the 29th, yeah. But it's a good plan. It's a good week to plan. And David, I was speaking with some folks this week. There are many, many people who chose not to build a deck or did some kind of temporary solution on a deck during COVID when lumber prices were just absolutely insane. Things are back to normal. And so if you've been kind of stalling on a deck project, you're in a good spot. I didn't look at the lumber composite, or I haven't looked at the lumber composite recently. The last time I did it, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think the numbers were almost perfectly aligned with where they were in 2018. So the market has stabilized in that regard. And so it is, you can get out there and build a deck and not have to take a second and third mortgage or pull a Brinks truck up to the home improvement store when you want to buy a deck. So so I think that's good news. And then it course brings out all kinds of different stuff as far as different projects and things like that. So there's that. I wanted to get folks out, hey, that's that. One of the projects that I was looking at, David, was like a pergola or a covered porch. And you and I have spoken in the past about situations where if the roof line isn't right, it's really difficult to put a covered porch on, or you have to tie it into the existing roof, and that can be like super expensive. In my JLC, I was reading an article that showed a freestanding covered porch, and it wasn't like there's a gutter on the existing house. The water comes off the existing roof into the gutter, but then the roof line, like a shed type roof for the freestanding covered porch, was higher than the gutter. So you had some air moving through there. If you had insect concerns, you'd have to consider that, I guess. But I felt like that solved the problem of the roof line. What do you think? I mean, do you think that would be good, bad, and different?
No, I've seen that many times. There's actually some supports that are designed, but again, you're getting into the roof. But they actually go through the roof with these supports and tie into the wall on the top plate, and then they go up and they hold a beam above the roof, and then it has a boot that goes around the support like around a plumbing vent.
Got
so.
It.
It's getting to be a pretty normal thing to leave that gap at the top. And those are, like I said, those are open air porches. So,
yeah,
exactly. a blowing rain or wind or things like that.
It's coming in. Right.
It could. Right.
Yeah. And even if you get into the roof in that scenario, much less intrusive than having to pull plywood, tie in rafters and then redeck, reshingle and so on. So I hadn't considered raising the roof line of the new covered porch to exceed the existing roof line. Is there additional wind load consideration if you do that? Because wind getting up underneath.
Well, yeah. So your fastening techniques would need to be mechanical so that you're able to tie everything together. And then of course your post, any weight that you add to that deck, you're going to have to compensate.
Yeah.
But that's even if you're tying onto the back of a house and putting a shed roof, they still, in most cases want, some type of supports going down through the deck to a footer.
Yeah. And that's, you make an important point, and I know we got to jump to a break, but you make an important point in that this is kind of designed as a freestanding, right? So it's got to have all of the columns and all the supports and all the footings. It's not something you can just drop on top of a deck.
Right.
We'll dig in on that a little bit, no pun intended. We've got to take a break now, folks. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're at 704-570-1110, or you can go to askjohnanddave.com and send us a question by clicking the questions button. We're going to take a little break, and we'll be back right after these important messages. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Let's talk about the Memorial Day project you have cooking. No pun intended, in the event that you're cooking. But before we do that, speaking of cooking, perhaps that was a Freudian slip of my own. It's time for the Home Depot product of the week. And this week, I love the NexGrill Nevo propane grill with an air fryer. And here's why I like it. It's the first ever smart grill that includes an air fryer, so you can be outside doing all the deal you want to do, right? Doing your grilling, air frying some appetizers. It's smart Wi-Fi enabled, so that means it's smart Wi-Fi enabled, and that Wi-Fi controls the SureTemp monitoring system, which maintains an even temperature for cooking and adjusts up and down to maintain that temperature. You can use it manually if you want to, but you can be chilling with an adult beverage while all that's going on and monitor the temperature in the cooking area. And speaking of the cooking area, here's some hyperbole. Well, it's 714 square inches. David, since I love to stake the obvious with respect to math, that 714 square inches is just under half a square yard of cooking area. That's a lot of wings. I could be crude and say that's a big butt that you can get on there. But that's pretty good. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week. What do you think?
I love it.
You want one? It's like air fryer. Do you have an air fryer?
Well, we have a convection oven.
Okay, so all right, works the same. All right.
Well, we don't have a tabletop or countertop, but
we did one. I do some different stuff on there. Like asparagus is really good. I haven't done Brussels sprouts. Really want to figure out a way to do a deep fryer and make some donuts. That's healthy. 704-570-1110. Please distract me from donuts. We talked unplanned about the transfer switch. David, outdoor living spaces, though, I found a really cool, in the Journal of Light Construction, a really cool, innovative product. It's not for every kind of application, but it's a Pilex screw pile. And the application shown is, you know how you have to get, especially where you have like wide steps on your deck, maybe three or four stringers, maybe more, depending on what you've got. You've got to have something. Those stringers just can't sit on the ground, right? They have to be attached to something that goes into the ground. And that's a lot of digging, pouring a lot of concrete, and so on. This, it's a 50-inch screw pile. So that means it's 50 inches long. There goes my obvious math statement for the day. Second one. But you screw it in into the ground, like a helical pier almost. And then there's an attachment that screws onto the top of it that's adjustable. And that's where your framing member goes. And that's how you tie into your stringer. Now, it doesn't take the place of all concrete footer solutions, because I can imagine as you put something in there that's going to be out of the ground and you've got leverage at the top of a handrail post or something like that, it's not going to accommodate. It's not going to tackle that, you know, that pressure particularly well. But I thought that was brilliant. It's the same principle as a helical pier that holds up your foundation. Yeah.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of places in the country that do drive those big screws into the ground that hold the entire deck. So they put a plate, it's a U-plate that is welded on top of it, and then they mount the post in it, and the entire deck is basically sitting on pilings that have been driven into the ground, either screwed in or driven in. Pretty cool.
It is pretty amazing. And so I say that because the one I'm looking at has the diameter of the screw portion is probably only about 5 inches. So it's not designed for a load beyond what we would do with those stringers. But I can certainly see that, stepping it up would work. In our soil, having that screw-in feature means you get deeper into the soil much easier than what we're doing with a post hole digger. I guess you could do a power auger, but again, it's extra steps, right? So I thought that was pretty cool. I don't know where they're available, like where you can pick them up. I didn't get online to try to find out, but they'll take about 5,000 pounds of load in sandy soil and 3,500 pounds in clay. So that's plenty for what we got to do for the application that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that was a cool, innovative product, especially with like I said, deck season. Have you priced decks, or have you done anything with decking in any of your current?
I'm looking at a couple right now with composite, composite rails or vinyl rails, and those are just recovers. They're not actually new decks.
Undercarriage and stuff. Okay.
Right. So probably will change out the joist on one of the, well, both of them actually. One of them's going to be tile, but
cool.
The other deck is a wooden deck now, but we're going to go to 12 inches on center with the joist, because the decking boards are going to run diagonal, and composites do better when you put your, especially on a diagonal, you got to go 12 inches
right
on center, so that you don't have a lot of space between on the composite. You get a little more flex.
Yep.
On a composite deck.
All right. We're going to be right up against a break, so we're going to go ahead and take it. Coming back, I want to share a couple of helpful hacks. And David, love to talk about pergolas, for whatever reason, seem to be all over the place online and in articles. And I want to talk pre and post concrete pergolas, but we'll explain what that means when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
We've got lines open. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about what's important to you. David, before we went to the break, I in my JLC, in different blogs online, And I don't know whether you're seeing questions like that in the remodeling space or not, but big outdoor activities, I don't know whether it's, you know, still COVID-related stuff or not, but pergolas are kind of all the rage, from the prefab, you know, things like you can pick up, you know, at the Home Depot or home improvement stores, to custom, you know, big, you know, posts in the ground and so on. And I thought it might be cool just in this last segment to take a minute and talk about planning that and actually building it out. It's something a do-it-yourselfer could probably do. First question, I guess, is, and I know we're not, you know, code enforcement officers, but if you're doing a freestanding project like a pergola, does that require a permit and inspections? Do you know?
You know, I'm not sure about that. I mean, it's probably worth a quick call
to the
to building standards, whatever county you live in, just to make sure. You know, that until you cover it with a roof, completely covered with the roof, whether mm-hmm. it be, you know, those clear Lexan panels,
right?
Mm-hmm. Or if you put a metal roof, something to drain off, you had pitch. If it's really just a true pergola with just boards going across the top to help give you some shade or something to grow a vine on, you really don't have much load, if you will, because what you're looking at are wind loads and snow load. I think a lot of times people don't realize how much wind plays an effect on a roof or a wall. As it blows against that area, it really puts quite a load on it. So if it's an open air porch, you really don't have much load. So I think the only thing you have to be concerned about is it basically twisting and falling over on someone or against the house. So, you know, that may be what, if there were requirements, that might be what it would be for.
Okay.
Or what if somebody later did decide to add a roof on top of it?
So,
the same reason they changed deck codes. Not only were they coming off of houses because of the way they were fastened, but also people were coming back and adding porches on top of decks that were not designed to have a deck or a roof put on top of it.
Right. So I think it dawns on me that, as you say, wind load, it is pretty impressive because I fly a lot, and a wind load lifts an airplane. Fundamentally, right? As that air moves across the wing, it reduces the pressure, and it'll pull a plane off the ground, right? So, I'm not a physicist, but there's a lot of ways for that to have a wind load. So that's a good point. So there's two scenarios. Usually there's some kind of stonework or concrete. It's easy if there's no concrete in place to dig, you know, to bore a hole, pour a footing, you know, and place a post correctly into the hole for a pergola. What do you do if there's already a concrete patio there?
Well, depending on what you're installing, if you're doing like a prefab aluminum type of or vinyl, even wood, it's normally going to have some type of bracket that you could anchor to the slab.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what you're more concerned with is to keep that from being lifted and moved. You know, you wouldn't want it to blow into the house or to topple over and hurt people underneath it. And if there was wind, but if you actually needed to put footings because you were going to build something, you have to saw cut the concrete,
Right.
Yeah. And you're breaking it out, and then you pour your footing and you bring that up, and then a lot of times what you do is you pour that up above, you form it with a sonotube or mm-hmm. a square form,
mm-hmm.
pour it up and elevate it, and then you add some type of faux stone around the footing to hide the cut, essentially, because you put something
you
thicker
can't get
and
it
you make
perfect,
the,
yeah. Unless you got some kind of massive coring tool or something, right? Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, let's take it 1 second there. Francisco has a question. We'll jump over to Francisco. Good morning, Francisco. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning? Hello? Okay, maybe Francisco is not there. We'll put him on hold and we'll check back. So that was, I guess, what I wanted to get at. Are there situations or applications where you could mount, depending, I guess, on the size of it, you could mount it to just to the concrete without coring it or cutting through the concrete?
Yeah, I think a lot of those prefab units come that way. Now, we put up a shelter.
Okay. Let's jump back to Francisco real quick. Francisco, good morning. How are you this morning? I don't know that. Yeah. Francisco must have like a delayed. He'll call back. Let's see. So I'm sorry, David. I lost track of what we were saying, trying to get Francisco.
Put it for footings. We put up a prefab shelter. It's all powder coated metal, and I got the layout out of the box before we put it together, and I measured out my footings, and we dug and poured footings, mm-hmm. and they're elevated, and then those were poured, and that's what we fastened the shelter down to. There were six posts. And they're just fastened down with a large Tapcon, half inch Tapcons, and that keeps it, you know, it. I mean, I've been out there when the wind was really strong, and it's a hip roof, so there's some pressure against it as it blows, but it's not moving. It has diagonal braces from the post to the roof structure, so it's pretty strong. But what I did was I covered the footings with travertine before I mounted the actual shelter on top of it.
Right.
So I drilled bigger holes through the travertine, but the right size hole through into the footing to hold the Tapcons. So right. The actual strength, and they were, I don't know, six or 7 inches long, massive. And I painted them the same color as the pergola or thereabouts. They disappeared. Yeah. You don't even see
it. Yeah, that's good. That's very cool. All right. So good news. I think that might be part of the reason that they're so popular is it's aesthetically very pleasing, super comfortable. Like it's nice shade, not complete shade, but it's not like a major construction project to get something like that in place.
No, it's 12 by 20. So it's pretty good sized unit.
All right, let's see. We got 2 minutes left. Let's see if we can get Francisco back on the line here. Good morning, Francisco. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. How can we help?
Well, I got a situation in my hands that I don't necessarily want anybody in trouble. I don't want to miss it to the town. Oh, because my intention is to get the situation in order. But I was looking for a house, and I just happened to driving by, but I noticed this house was in the construction. And to make a long story short, I bought the place. After they finished the house, I decided to start moving in. And as I started moving in, I noticed that one of the rooms is a one-story house. Mm-hmm. However, they have a room upstairs also, mm-hmm. like a bedroom. You mm-hmm. can use it whatever you want. So I noticed that after I moved into the house, I haven't completely moved in yet because there's no power in the place. But anyhow, there's no vents in that room for heating and cooling. And also, I was concerned that the garage, it's a two-car garage, the concrete, there was a vein, like it was cracked, into about 3 feet long, the two of them. And I was just wondering if that's something that I can go ahead and overlook.
Well, hang on one, Francisco. We're running right up against a break that we have to take. It's the top of the hour. So if you don't mind hanging on, I think we can answer both of those questions for you with a couple additional questions. Are you okay if we put you on hold through the break?
That'd be okay.
Thank you so much for your patience. Folks, we are going to put Francisco on hold. I think we can help him sleuth through his challenges. And we're ready to help you tackle any challenges at 704-570-1110. We're going to take our break, and we'll be back to answer more home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
We've got some lines available this morning. We're at 704-570-1110. We're going to jump right back to Francisco, who waited patiently through the break. Francisco, thank you for waiting through the break. I think you had two questions. One was about some cracks in the concrete in the garage, and then the other was about an HVAC vent in this upstairs room. Let's tackle the garage one first. This is new construction, correct?
Yes.
And then was there a warranty with the home with the builder?
I talked to him yesterday, and he said there's a warranty for the house, but that's what he said. Go ahead.
Well, so how big are the cracks in the concrete?
Well, they are like a vein, like a spaghetti type of vein. That's superficial, but I was concerned because this is a brand new building. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been occupied yet. I'm going to be the first tenant in this house. It's my house, but when I look at the floor, I notice that it's like a river, there's got portion of the river split in different directions.
Yeah.
And that's how the floor looks in my garage.
Is there an actual crack in the concrete, or is it just like lines?
Well, I bought up his attention. And I went shopping, and when I came back, he already had it fixed, so to speak. But to me, it looks like a cosmetic work.
And it could be all that all that it needs, Francisco. I think in that scenario, if he's patched it up, then I think you just have to monitor that. And if it re-cracks, then you may have a question, to ask. But David, I think I don't know. I don't know how they packed it or backfilled or anything like that, so it's impossible to tell. But I think if he's fixed the cracks, then you probably want to monitor that. If they reappear, then you still got movement, and that's another question, and you may have to have an engineer take a look at that. David, okay. Am I missing something on the concrete?
Well, I just wondered, did they cut its expansion joints? So are there straight lines cut in it, Francisco?
No, they just follow the vein cut on the floor. They just follow it and patch it up.
Yeah, but I mean, I think what David's asking is, in the process of pouring it, they'll take a saw and they'll cut a straight line to have an expansion joint so that.
When they patch it up, but I think what they did was to follow.
Okay, I think we got our answer.
They just follow the cut and they patch it out.
But there's no expansion joints cut during the pouring. Yeah. Okay.
No.
Got it. All right. So, David, I think is
your. That's why it's cracking.
That's why it's cracking, right? Because as it cures.
Yeah.
I think
it needs to be it. Yeah. It needs to be repaired. They need to cut. They need to take a saw and cut joints in that floor so that because it's going to continue to crack.
At least every 8 foot or so, right? Or is it?
Yeah, 8 to 10 feet.
That's right. But I always think they're going to have to take it all apart and redo it again. That's right, though. But
that would be the best thing.
Yeah.
Well,
So
I will be, I will bring that to his attention when he asks him this time. Mm-hmm. How about the room upstairs that there was no vent?
So you said it's a single story. It's a single story ranch.
It's a single story house, but however, there's three bedrooms on the bottom floor, and an extra room upstairs.
And is that room upstairs finished with drywall and everything?
Oh yes, it's like it's a brand new home. You see, I don't see no difference between the room upstairs and the rest of the house.
And how was it sold to you? Is it 3-bedroom or 4-bedroom?
3 bedrooms.
I mean, David, I think it depends on how that was permitted, doesn't it? Whether it has to.
Well, it has. If it's a finished room, it's going to need
to have HVAC.
It should have vents.
Yeah,
should have HVAC if it's a bonus room.
Well, to his attention, he told me that it was not in the blueprint. That he did conform to city ordinance.
Yeah,
he blows my mind that I have a room upstairs and I'll be able to use it because I have no vents there. I don't want to put an air conditioner in the window because this is a brand new home. And,
I
don't want to wear conditioners in my window.
So I think you've got enough complexity there, Francisco, and you sense that immediately yourself, which is why you're asking the question. David, my sense is he needs to have a building inspector come out there and just look at both scenarios and have a disinterested party give an explanation or a resolution on both scenarios. Is there a better solution?
Yeah. No, I think that's what he needs. He needs someone to be an advocate for him. To talk with building standards and all that. So, Francisco, do you send emails? Do you do the internet?
Yes.
Why don't you send us a note? We have a website, askjohnanddave.com.
Okay.
And you can send us a note there, and I could probably give you a little more help there.
Okay. It's going to take me a little while to get to do that because, like I said, I'm in the process of moving to the house.
At your convenience.
My computer is in the house.
Yep.
But
okay, that's fine.
I got no power in the house yet. It's going to be not installed yet.
Yeah. Okay. So send us a note. We're a little bit past the break here, Francisco. So we're gonna have to jump off. But askjohnanddave.com. Click on the questions button or send us a note at questions@askjohnanddave.com. And we'll help out.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you for the call and thank you for waiting through the break. Billy, we're going to ask you to wait through the break. Apologize that we've got to sneak away for a break here and then we'll be back to answer your plumbing question and other questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110 is our number. We're going to jump right back to Billy, who has patiently waited through the break. Billy, thanks for waiting through the break. How can we help, sir?
Hey, good morning. I have a house that's 21 years old, two-story house. I replaced a toilet on the first floor with a high-efficiency toilet, and it's a type that when it discharges the water into the bowl, it's quite a bit of water, so it's a quick flush. Now, since I have done that, an upstairs toilet will gurgle now, and it'll gurgle to a point that if somebody's on that toilet, they're going to have a rude awakening. Now, I know it's going to be a venting issue. I just don't know if the newer style toilets could affect the venting of the system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it you're because you're sending all that water at once, so it's cutting off the flow, the airflow,
what's strange is that toilet that I replace is vented straight up. It's vented with a 3-inch pipe up, and then it goes to 2-inch. So it's not like the vent is a distance away, and I check the vent, and it's clear. So that's why I'm confused.
Well, I mean, it's possible that there's a some obstruction in there, but it could be just the way that it's vented. Is what's causing the problem. So there may not actually be a problem.
Yeah, it's but just, it is it's, for the person sitting on that toilet upstairs.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you have a bidet and a toilet all in one.
Well, sometimes it's not necessarily going to be clean water to wash.
So, yeah.
So I may have to think about adding another vent or something to see if that will take care of it.
And how are the sinks vented?
Fine. Everything's fine. And that's what's weird. It never occurred before. And I'm sure if I put the original toilet back, I'm not going to have the problem because, you know, the way it discharges the water in the bowl is somewhat slow. This one is like the whole tank. Boom.
Yeah, it moves. I mean, you've diagnosed it correctly. I don't know. Is it possible that it's just inadequate venting, David? For the volume of water
that's moving? It's possible. I mean, normally that would indicate there's an obstruction somewhere, but it could be just the way that it's reduced down or a fitting, without looking at it and seeing it.
Yeah, I may do a diagram and then some photos and email it to you guys and see if you can, because it's vented correctly per code. I mean, there's no question.
Right.
And it's right there at the main vent.
Yeah.
So.
And how close are the toilets?
Oh, the.
On the.
Downstairs toilet is from the upstairs toilet 30 feet and then up the next door and the next story. And the thing is that this toilet downstairs is about 3 feet away from another toilet in another bathroom. And that toilet does not create this situation because it's not a new style.
Yeah, it's not moving the same volume of water. Or the same at the rate, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
David, a plumber, or I guess you could send us. I mean, would you be able to tell, David, looking at some drawings or pictures from Billy, what might?
Maybe able to tell what that is.
I've done.
We can also get you connected with a plumber.
Tell you exactly what the fittings are and how it's vented straight up.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Do that.
All right. And what's that email address?
Questions@askjohnanddave.com.
Perfect. Thank you. Have a great weekend.
Thank you, Billy. Appreciate your call.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Maybe David, if he gets it to you while you're there with Plumber Tim, he can have an opinion too. What do you think?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's who thinking? My go-to guy is. So.
That's it. Okay. That's odd. Anyway.
Yeah. I'm just wondering, I was just going to ask if it was a power assist or if it's just a regular flush.
Yeah.
Just gravity feed or if it has a power assist on it. Anyway, I can ask him that later.
Okay. All right. 704-570-1110. That's our number. We have some lines open. Give us a call. Looking back at my notes here. We talked about pergola. We talked about just the deck. You said that you've got... actually a deck resurface kind of project ready to go. The other thing that I pulled up, let me find them here, is were some tips or what we call tips of the week back in the day, but just some helpful hacks. And I was feeling like there might have been one that could have been helpful for Billy. No, it was not what I thought it was. Let's go to... I don't know. There's ice in the garbage disposal, David. Let's talk about that one. So we're in the spirit of spring cleaning and plumbing and keeping things moving well. One of the things that we talk about as a regular routine maintenance is you can't put too much in there, but to clean up your garbage disposal is to take a cupful or a bowl full of ice and run the bowl full of ice through your garbage disposal. Why would we do that, David?
It'll knock off any buildup on the sides of the disposal that can potentially cause odor.
Exactly.
If you're doing the John and Dave other hack, which is really hot water, boiling water, and a little soap on a regular basis. You may not even have that situation, but if it's never, if you bought the house and it's never been done, it's a great way to clean up the disposal a little bit.
It is. The other thing that I do, it's possible that our house, perhaps on a Friday afternoon, that I would have an adult beverage that included a lemon slice. And and maybe if I had more than one, there could be a couple lemon slices. And maybe putting those in the garbage disposal and grinding them up before the ice goes through kind of freshens and cleans. So
sweetens it up a little bit.
Sweetens it up or sours it up. I don't know what the right terminology is. But definitely a way to keep things moving. The other piece that looked on here is that I get older and seriously have challenges with arthritis in my hands. A hack that it has kind of to do with home improvement because it includes a home improvement product. But think about cleaning solutions or adhesives or chemicals that are stored in a screw cap bottle. And you use them the first time, everything is cool. Then you go back to get them the second time. This is even true for like PVC cement or even the PVC primer. Taking and wrapping one or two courses of Teflon tape around the threads on the bottle itself and then screwing it back makes it easy to open the second time. So great the first time, do what you got to do, but before you close it up and put it back on the shelf, wrap a couple courses of Teflon tape around the bottle or the can top and screw the cap back on, and now it comes off with much greater ease the next time you go to use it. I thought that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, I like it.
As a guy getting older. And then the last piece that is perfect for the last one we'll throw out there right now, and we're going to get, I think Jared's going to call us into the next segment, so I want to be ready for that. But we're talking about outside, you know, gardens and garden areas. This one I thought was really good because it can be a challenge. If you want to just kind of like lay out what your garden, you're going to put a garden, a flower garden or some kind of decorative bed in, and you don't want it to just be boxed off. You kind of want it to have a curve effect to it. If you take a long garden hose and fill it up with, you know, put close off the nozzle, fill the garden hose with water, then it becomes pretty rigid as far as, you know, not too flexible, but flexible enough that you can actually lay out your garden with the garden hose and then spray paint the area that the garden hose marks, and now you can get back in with your shovel and get to it, and you can be creative without having to cut and dig, you know, two and three different times and try to reshape it. So that was three of our helpful hacks from 2007. I think they're all still relevant. We're going to be just a few seconds away from a break, so we'll go ahead and take that. Folks, we're at 704-570-1110. We'll talk about your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Hey, welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
And I'm Dave Doval.
Hey, and let's see, it's time for our Home Depot Product of the Week, but instead of doing our Home Depot Product of the Week this hour, let's talk to let's talk to Jared Welsbacher. Jared, good morning. Are you with us?
Yes, I am. Thanks for having me, guys.
No, thanks for calling in. I know there's all kinds of stuff going on, so we appreciate your time. Jared, we've been kind of banging around this morning on just different stuff, sort of prepping for the Memorial Day weekend, and I know that you guys, I don't work in the stores anymore, but it's a kind of a crazy time in a great way. Maybe if we could just take a second and sort of think through a couple different categories, it'd be good to get the benefit of your thinking on what's going on as far as right before the, Jared, right before the break, we were talking about just a couple of hacks, and one of them was, hey, laying out a flower garden using a watering hose as your contour guide. But maybe we could talk a little bit about some live goods and what's going on in the garden area. David and I have been talking about pergolas and decks, and our product of the week this week happens to be the Nevo Next Grill, propane grill and air fryer combination. But maybe you could talk to us a little bit about what some options are in that space. And then it would be really good to talk about, okay, somebody's cooking, somebody should be chilling, like patio areas. And then it's just not a home improvement show if you don't talk about tools in some fashion. So I know I just threw a bunch of stuff at you, but let's start with the outside garden stuff. What are people doing outside? I like planting stuff, because David and I don't touch it unless it's a big tree. We cut it down and build something with it.
Absolutely. So I would tell you, you're absolutely right. Home Depot gearing up for Memorial Day, and our sale is running now. This is our Black Friday, Christmas, as it were. So we're definitely kicking up full steam, and we have our sales going on now in store and online all the way through the 29th. You talked about the outside space and garden and lots of things you can do as far as planting with the live goods. We have tons of with regards to flowers, vegetables, and herbs. We have our Bonnie Harvest Select right now is on sale for 3 for $12. So someone wanting to get started with that garden planning, we have.
Is that like veggies? Is that vegetable stuff?
Lots of different appeals. And then we have all of our obvious petunias and patience. Everything else is great color and selection right now that can add tons of appeal across all patios and porches and balconies.
I
think about as well, I mean, you got to get the plants, but then you have to get the things that are going to make it thrive. So we have our Miracle-Gro garden soil right now is on sale for 4 for $10. Amazing deal. We only run that usually once or twice a year. And then our Vigoro bag mulch is 5 for $10 right now. Best deals of the year.
So mulch, I just broke a sweat thinking about it. I do, I don't know how many, it's like 3 trips with my truck to do the mulch every year for the house. I love that stuff. It makes it look crisp. What about, David and I were talking first hour about the next grill, Nevo propane grill, but that's not like the least expensive grill. Are there some decent grills out there that I don't have to get a second mortgage to buy?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we'll have a grill for every customer type. So
everything
that's a great value to your super high-end outdoor patio space, right, where it's a built-in grill. So we carry all variety types. So I think of 3 main ones right now. One is the Loco flat-top grill-girdle combination. So griddles have been making a huge wave. Lots of customers are really turning to that space. And we have really incorporated this new Loco that's got this chalk finish enclosed cart and hood. And then it's got this really cool where you have the smart temp thermostat. So on one side, you can sauteing your vegetables for fajitas. Then another side, you could have your temperature just right for those steaks or your burgers and not have to worry about overcooking one or the other. You talked about the Next Grill. Amazing promotions we have on all of our Next Grills right now. 4-burner, 3-burner. When I think about the 4-burner, it's on sale now for $199. So great, reliable option with lots of space to cook on. You could easily fit enough for 6 people to cook on there.
David was making fun of me last week because whatever I chose for Home Depot product of the week had like a huge price tag. So thank you for rescuing me with a very affordable solution.
The other one I would tell you about that's really great at the Home Depot is the Traeger. So, if you've never had the chance to be able to try it, it is amazingly delicious, perfect temperature, digital controlled. You get those delicious, consistent results, like that perfect steak. If you're doing a bigger, like rack of ribs or something, perfectly consistent every single time. And I just love the Traeger and how we've really brought that in. And since we start having it, personally, we use it at our in-store cookouts, and the associates love it.
Is that the one that has the self-feed pellets, or how's that work?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
So it's got a chamber for the hardwood pellets, and then it belt feeds it in, so it keeps that consistent temperature of keeping the grill at that right temperature the entire time. And it's got a digital control, so... listen, I'm pretty busy on the weekend, so being able to put something in there and be able to monitor it from my phone, and then I'm able to go do whatever other projects in my yard or in my backyard to be able to make sure I'm getting things done, and then food's perfectly ready when I need it to be.
Awesome. So let's do we're going to be close to on a break here. What about we said it's not, you know, Memorial Day unless you buy some new tools. It's never a good day unless you buy some new tools. What about, like, David and I talk a lot about Ryobi and Milwaukee, just because they've got such great, like, comprehensive solution. Is anything going on there?
Yeah. So our Ryobi walk behind mower, it's a 40 volt brushless, comes with a 6 amp hour battery and chargers on sale for $449 right now. Great durability because it's got that brushless motor and it gives you the performance like gas like power. And really a lot of our outdoor lines with all of the battery platforms, you can now change your battery from one to the next. So
that's what
as soon as one battery goes, you can immediately swap it out with another one. And then you just keep going back to your project. No need to downtime or worry about running out of a charge.
No, and then when I
think about Milwaukee, we have a great deal going on right now with our drill impact combo kit. Comes with two batteries, charger, bag, now on sale for $299. And then if you're a DeWalt guy, we've got our DeWalt Atomic drills on sale now for $99.
Yikes. And hey, Father's Day's coming, boys and girls.
Yes, it is. And this week kicks off our tool day. So some amazing deals are going to be coming in on that power segment. So if you're looking, maybe getting ahead for that Father's Day segment, you could be able to score on some good deals right now too.
And we'll for the one free
combinations.
It's pretty great stuff. And for the spouses out there, for the women who actually do the work, buy yourself a tool for Father's Day and use it yourself. That's how we see it. Hey, Jared, look, we are sneaking way past the break here, but we wanted to make sure we got the best information we could from you. Thank you so much for sharing this stuff. David, he's much better at picking appropriately priced items than I am, so we'll count Jared in the friend category. Jared, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Uh-huh. Have a great day. That was pretty good. He's far less expensive than I am, David. Good, Frank.
You'd for think him. You were commissioned or something.
Yeah, well, I'm not, but it's what I like.
Know.
It's what I like.
I know.
All right, 704-570-1110. We're way past our break, but it was worthwhile. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back to answer your home improvement questions when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're taking your call, 704-570-1110. We're going to jump quickly over to Clyde. Clyde, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
Did you hear me?
We sure can.
Okay, I'm getting back on the power in the outside or the generators. I've got a 5,500-watt, 8,500-surge-watt portable generator that I had at my mom's house, and she has passed on, but would that be feasible to put a transfer switch outside where the main box is and set that up next to that? This thing's got 410 lines on it and one 220. And
mm-hmm.
I know it wouldn't do everything in this house.
But right.
Would that have to be rewired to handle the transfer switch as far as just running that out there and plugging it into the transfer switch and start it up?
No. In fact, I used a 5,500-watt portable generator to run the house that we had in Charlotte, only in an emergency, right? I wasn't trying to run the air conditioning and stuff, and it was perfect for that. And no, it's you just have to, we talked about it earlier, Clyde, you just want to make sure you get from where the generator is and that the generator is placed in a safe place from carbon monoxide perspective and noise perspective and so on. You just got to get a cable off of the generator into the transfer switch. And usually there's, if you buy a kit for the transfer switch, there's male-female connectors that'll let you take your cable all the way up to the transfer switch, and then you're just pulling wires from the transfer switch into the box.
Okay.
David, I think that's probably something that is at least supposed to get inspected by for electrical. I don't know what code requires on that, Clyde, but it's not complex work.
Okay, great.
And the scenario you've got will work.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I just said the scenario you described will work. You're doing the right thing. You're moving it from the generator to a transfer switch, and then the transfer switch lets you place it in the box and activate whatever circuits you want to have on.
Okay. Well, my good friend is an electrician, and
okay.
He would do that. So, okay, just wondered if that was sort of the correct way to go, and I appreciate it and enjoy the program.
Well, thanks for listening, Clyde. We appreciate the question.
Bye-bye.
Bye. It's David, really, it's just a math. It's not even a math problem. It's an arithmetic problem. Like, it's not higher math. Just making sure that what load you're pulling off of the generator is less than the capacity of the generator, right?
Right.
Not hard.
Yep.
And it's I like it, and I think it's okay. I want like a whole house generator, I'm just going to do something for an emergency, right? Transfer switch solution is awesome with a portable generator. And if you say, look, you know what, I'm going to put fans on and use my 5,500 watt generator instead of trying to run the air conditioning, you know what, that's probably not the end of the day if your goal is just taking care of perishables and basic things when power goes out in the summertime. It's enough.
Freezers. Freezers, refrigerators, wells.
Right.
You know, if you're on a well, and some people, their septic system has a lift station. Or low pressure pump. So, and you know, those are, let's face it, they're necessities.
Kind of.
To have those. Yep.
And so I think that it's getting more and more popular. And I think as we put more and more demand on the grid, I don't know, I'm not smart about that stuff, but like common sense says, the potential for, you know, brownouts or, you know, power challenges could be more. So I think it's probably prudent to at least have some sort of emergency solution from a backup perspective.
As long as they don't take the natural gas away from everybody.
I know. God, it seems like if you were going to make fun of somebody, if you're going to do a Saturday Night Live skit, like and make some fun of like legislators, you would do that. But it doesn't seem like you would think that through. But I don't know. Anyway, that's somebody else's challenge, at least for right now. Hey, David, one other thing that I wanted to throw out there because it's a very cool hack. It's yours. It's time if you got a refrigerator or freezer in the garage, especially. And if you've got one in the house, it's time to clean off the coils. And you can't just get a vacuum cleaner up underneath the coils of a refrigerator. What's your little hack for making sure you suck that coil off so it performs at optimal levels?
Yeah, the problem is you can't get a normal vacuum cleaner attachment back in there very far. I mean, if it's out in the garage, you can actually use the air compressor and blow it out, which is pretty simple. You take the back cardboard or metal off of the back of the refrigerator and you can just take a compressor and blow it out with air, or even a leaf blower I would think would work as well. But if you're in the house, you don't want to do that. I did that once and it kind of made a big mess. It took me a long time to clean it up. But I took a Christmas paper wrapping tube and taped it on the end of the vacuum cleaner port and was able to flatten it out and stick it back into the refrigerator coil back in there and vacuum and get a lot of that dust out of there. You don't get it all, but you'll get more than you will just trying to stick a crevice tool in there. So it works well.
Awesome. All right, we're taking that. John has a question. Good morning, John. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Hey, good. Hey, Dave, John.
Hey, how are you, John?
Comment. That Christmas tube is a good thing. I use a piece of PVC pipe and kind of, you know, heat it up a little bit, and I use that for everything. But
hey, John, we got like 2 minutes, literally.
All right, your electrical equipment this time of year, your HVAC, your wells, and GFIs outside.
Yes.
Get full of ants. You need to spray around that, or you're going to get in trouble in a service call for no water, no air, and it could be ants. I've seen it.
Yes.
It's all over this time of year. I say that.
That is a hugely beneficial tip because they, and I don't know what the deal is, John. And I don't know about Charlotte, but in Atlanta, the last several years, we've had a bumper crop of ants. Like, they are just incredible. And they do. They get up in there. I don't know whether they like the heat. I don't know whether they like a little buzz. But they get up in there, and they wreck your contacts, right?
They will hurt you and cause you a lot of money. And just take some every year, spray around all your stuff.
Good call. Good call. Well, John, thank you for your call, sir. We appreciate your good guidance. We appreciate your advice, especially the infrared stuff that you guys do with us and for us. So many thanks. All right. We are wrapping it up, folks. Another 2 hours has gone screaming by. We have been all over the place, David. Dog's breakfast of topics this week, but we think it was good. I hope you think it was good. We love to remind you every single week, especially going into Memorial Day, that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on all the different projects this week, don't forget to work on that project. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.